as a church is that all of God's word is good for us and profitable. So one of the challenges always is when we have a baptism service, do we preach on a passage to do with baptism, or do we just keep working through the book we're working through? Well, we're keeping on working through 1 Samuel this morning, and hopefully you'll see how actually this ties in with baptism without trying to strangle the passage. Let me ask you a question. What or who do you love? When we love someone or something, we build our life around them. That we adjust what we do so that we can be with them. Think of the young love-struck couple, where one lives in Aberdeen and one lives in London. What would love compel them to do? Well, love would compel them at some point to move to be in the same place, either one or both. We adjust our lives, sometimes dramatically, around the things we love. Think of those who love a particular landscape. And what's their dream when they retire? They can finally get a cottage that overlooks the fells they love, or that is situated near the mountains that they so enjoy. We live for what or who we love. So another way of asking you who or what you love is asking you what are you living for? It's a big question for a Sunday morning, isn't it? You may be thinking, my coffee hasn't even really hit my bloodstream yet. I can't really think that big. But actually, that's the question the water in front of us poses, isn't it? Baptism poses the question, who do you live for? And we'll hear from a little while from Claire and Aaron and Leon how they came to decide to live their lives for Jesus. That actually they would reorient their life around who Jesus is, not for themselves. In God's timing this morning, 1 Samuel 18 poses us exactly the same question. Who do you live for? Who do you love? There are kind of repeated phrases and words that set up a deliberate contrast between two different responses to God's King in this chapter. Two ways we also can respond to God's King and God's kingdom. And it asks us the question, do we love Jesus or will we reject him? Will we live for him or rebel against him? So let's look at the first of those. Here's the first thing we see. Love God's King and seek his kingdom. Look down at verses 1 to 4. There we meet Jonathan. Jonathan is one of the quiet heroes of the Bible. As we've gone through the book of 1 Samuel, we've seen he is brave and he is fearless. While the army dithers at one point, Jonathan and his armor bearer go and they attack a vastly superior force because, well, that's what God has told them to do. And he wants to obey God's word, even at risk to himself. He is a courageous man of action, and he loves God. And as we work through 1 Samuel, you can't help thinking Jonathan would be a great king. He'd be loads better than his dad. And he's next in line to the throne. So think about it for a minute. Who should he never have been friends with? Well, the guy who was going to usurp and take his throne. He should have viewed David as an enemy. David was going to take everything that belonged to Jonathan by rights. Jonathan had previously been the hero in the battles, and now the people sing David's name. A natural reaction for Jonathan would have been envy. We easily feel that, don't we? Someone else comes in and stands out at school or at work or in our sports team, and we feel envious. We may not do something about it, but secretly we long for them to get something wrong, to make a mistake. You know, that kid who has all the answers in the class, we long that they'd just get one wrong, or that they'd be slower putting their hand up so we can answer. That person who took our place on the football team or the rugby team, we long that they'd get an injury so we can be back in. Now, what strikes you here is that Jonathan is not envious of David. He knows God's purpose for David is to be king. And he's willing to become lesser so God's king can take his throne and God's kingdom can come. Look down at verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Just so we get the message, we get verse 3. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. In the days of having no bold print no larger fonts, no underlining, particularly to make a point. When someone in the Bible repeats an idea twice in a short number of verses, it's so we get it. Jonathan loves David as he loves himself. That is the Bible's definition of friendship. To have someone you love as you love yourself. That's not romantic love. Don't get too confused. It's what the Bible calls friendship. David recognizes in Jonathan someone who is like him. They are both young warriors of faith who have guts to lead men into battle against the odds to obey God's word. Both love God and contend for his people. They share the same passion for God's kingdom and God's purposes and have built their lives around it. And so they have this deep bond of friendship. Jonathan loves David as himself. There is no envy. There's no fighting. There's no backbiting. He loves David because they are united in their goals of serving God and his kingdom. And Jonathan shows his love for David in verse 4. He really does. He takes off his robe, gives it to David along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Now that's hugely significant. He takes off all of the clothing that would have signified he was next in line to be king. And he gives